We'll spend a little more time with them. So I'm really appreciative they're here today. I'm appreciative that you're here today. I like you guys too. I think you guys are pretty cool. And I'm actually proud of you guys too. I go places even this morning. Me and Regan were in Randy were in a gas station coming back from Kingsport. And I was just telling people about how excited I am to be with you guys and how I'd like for them to come see you guys. So thank you guys for coming too. This is Memorial Day weekend. How many do we have in here that have served in combat? If you've served in combat, stand up, please. I know Aaron's not here, but he served in combat. How many in here at state standards have served in the military, period, because you can't help where they send you? Come on now, Sal. I know you were waiting on you, Sal. I tell you what. You know, Jesus was not or is not an American. You know that, right? I mean, he's about everybody. He likes people in China, too. I know some of us have a hard time thinking Jesus is American. But, you know, he likes everybody. But you know what? I'm American, and he made me this way. And I thank God for these guys and others like them that are heroes that serve our country. So give it up for our veterans here today. Grant and I were sort of talking in the hallway. We need more spiritual heroes. We need more men and women that'll stand up and fight for your families. And I don't mean just on foreign soil. I mean here as we fight for our families. So happy Memorial Day and have a good weekend with your family. The other thing, this is Pentecost Sunday, the day the fire come down and came down. And what a powerful day that is. You know, the preacher handbook would probably say I'm supposed to preach about Memorial Day or Pentecost Sunday. I got my choice today according to the preacher handbook. And we've done that some, but I'm not very good at following the preacher handbook. So today we're not going to do either. I've got to obey the Lord. Is that okay? So we're just going to do what God puts in our heart and see how it turns out. And I believe God will touch you and bless you, and we won't be in your presence very long. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to the book of Luke, we're going to do an oldie but goodie, but one that God has revealed some things, some deeper things in me this week. Is it all right to be deep today? Is it all right to be meaty today? You know, the good thing about the Lord is you've got a good menu. You can order the steak. And if your teeth's a little soft, you had wisdom teeth surgery, you can order off the soup menu, the appetizer menu. You can get the kids' menu. So there's different layers. You can get what you want out of it. But I believe God has a meaty word for us today if we get right down into it. So Luke 15, if you have it, and you're able, and you can stand for the reading of the word if you want to. Luke 15 and 1. You have it? Say amen. Here we go. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. You may be seated. You know, Jesus is a fascinating figure. And I think I was talking to Tiff last night or yesterday, and we're talking about how as I grow or as I change, and as you know, Jesus said, follow me. And so you're on a walk and you're on a journey, and I'm continually evolving because I'm walking. And it's like we hiked yesterday. As you go along, your perspective changes as you hike. I can't imagine a relationship with anybody, with your wife or with a husband or with God, where you get to the point like 1 month in, you're like, I'm good. I don't want to grow any closer to you. I don't know how that would be with my wife if 1 month in I said, you know what? That's as close as I want to get to you. I'm good. I know all I need to know. I'm going to stop right here. I know all that I learned in Sunday school, and I'm good. I don't know what kind of relationship that would be. And so I'm continually evolving. And what I'm trying to do and what I'm figuring out is I'm questioning more about what I always assumed about God. I mean, I grew up in this thing. You know, not everybody has that experience, but I grew up in this church, or a church. And we assume so much. And what I'm learning is, the more I get closer to Jesus, the more maybe I assumed too much. And so what I'm trying to do as I grow old, as I go on this journey, as I'm learning, is I'm trying to learn more about Him. Who is Jesus? Not who people say or what people say to do or what customs are or what traditions are or the order of things and anything, but more about who is this man that 2,000 years later, the world is still turned upside down because he lived on this earth and he preached the gospel for 3 years. For 3 years, the world got flipped upside down. Ever since he lived on this earth, the whole world has been divided on this question, who is Jesus? Because he was here 3 years. That's an amazing thing to think about. Yes, I know he was here 30-some years, but he was only in ministry 3 years. So I'm trying to learn more about him. And I would challenge you, try to get closer to him. Try to learn more about him. Question things. Read about what he really said. Read about what he really did. Read this word with a fresh mind. Listen to this word with a fresh mind. And one of the things I've discovered more and more about Jesus recently is he was an amazingly complex and revolutionary human being. All man, all God. But he was revolutionary. He challenged everything that the world thought they knew. He was not, you know, like some... And that's okay. Don't worry about the baby. The bambino. They cry. They cry. So do I sometimes. He was a revolutionary, complex human being and all God and all man. And his life challenged everything. And when he was here on this earth, basically, if you read the gospel, what the gospel stands for, there's two hugely major things. One, Jesus loved people other people wouldn't love. That's unquestionable. That is one of the tenets of the gospel. That is one of the big things he said, love God, love people. He got in trouble because he loved people people didn't want to love. He got down in your dirt and my dirt, and he associated with people that other people didn't want to associate with. He got down in the dirt with a little lady who committed adultery, laying in her sin, and he got right down with her and said, I'm not going to judge you. And he wrote in the dirt, where are your accusers, woman? He touched people that were unclean. They said, don't touch them. They're lepers. They're sinners. You shouldn't touch people like that. If you were a man of God, you shouldn't be around people like that. He went up. He put his hands on them. He touched them. Love people. One of the major themes of the gospel. He loves you. He really does. And he loves you if you think you're the greatest thing since sliced cheese, or if he loves you if you think you're a horrible person and you don't think anybody could love you and you don't think you deserve to be loved because something has happened to you. He loves you. So number one, loving people that other people didn't want to love. But number two, he challenged those people who acted better or who used God to condemn other people. He challenged, one of the biggest themes of this whole gospel was his interaction with the Pharisees, as they would continually have arguments or have discussions, and they were always on the hunt for him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. In fact, they wanted to crucify him. And I would say they were successful, except they were not. Love crucified Jesus. He had to show up on the scene and said, here I am, crucify me, because they couldn't have got him any other way. But they wanted to crucify him because he challenged everything they thought they knew. He challenged their rules. And I want you to understand something. We vilify these people too quickly, the Pharisees. Hear me out. Everybody villainizes the Pharisees. They're the villain of the Bible. They're the villain of the New Testament. And it's easy for us to say these Pharisees are horrible people. But understand this, how different are we sometimes? Because they had reasons. There were books of this Bible that they were just upholding. We're just upholding Leviticus. The word says, thou shalt not. So they were just following the rules as they knew them. So we must be careful that we don't condemn them too quickly. Yes, they were wrong, but are we that much better sometimes? I mean, the book of Leviticus said, you're an abomination if you eat pork, if you eat shrimp, if you cut your beard, if your wife is allowed in your household when she's on her menstrual cycle, if she touches your food, that's an abomination. It's just the rules. And so Jesus questioned these rules. So they had their basis to condemn this man. And so those are the two major themes of the whole New Testament. The love of Jesus and the confrontation with the law. And so when we look at Luke 15, what we're doing is as an encounter that Jesus had. Is it all right if I sit down and teach a little bit? I won't be down long. Don't worry. An encounter Jesus had with this group of Pharisees. And he gave them three stories, three illustrations as he's trying to preach to them. Understand this, Jesus preached hard. Some people don't like when you preach hard. Some people don't like when you disciple hard. They don't want leadership, they want affirmation. They want a pat on the head. That's not how Jesus rolled. Jesus got down in your dirt and he loved you when you were down. But if you wanted to roll with him, if you wanted to be one of his disciples, he's called Peter. He said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, you devil. Come on, man. You know what else he told him? He said, how long do I have to be here with you? Hardcore stuff. Hardcore stuff. He told the Pharisees, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You're all shiny and cool on the outside, but you're filthy and dead on the inside. Sound like pretty hard preaching. People don't want hard preaching. They want affirmation. Or we like the hard preaching when it's preaching on somebody else. I like that fiery preacher. Give it to him, preacher. Preach against those sinners, preacher. So that preacher gets down to your dirt. Oh, I don't like that one no more. I want somebody else to pat me on the head. Let me tell you why Jesus didn't pat people on the head. He loved you too much. It's a lot easier on me to pat you on the head. But it also means I love you less than I love me. Because if I love you more, then I'm more concerned about helping you than your opinion of me. But if I'm driven by your opinion of me, then I'm just saying I love me more. Really, all I care about is you liking me. And I'll say whatever you want, man, as long as you like me, because that's easier. But it means I love you less. You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus loved you too much. He loved me too much. He actually loved the Pharisees too much to patronize them. He loved his disciples too much to patronize them. So he preached hard, and so he had this encounter with these Pharisees, and he gave them three stories. We're moving quick. The one was the lost sheep. You know the story? The shepherd had 99 sheep. He left behind to go get the one. He didn't stay with the one, or the wolves would come 8 to 99, but he went and got it and rescued. And then there was the other one about the woman with the coins, and she had 10 rare coins, and she lost one, but she was still worried about the one you have worth. And people could say, oh, they got plenty of people at that church. They don't need me. He wants you because you're valuable to him. He created you with value. You add something to the equation, and you bring something to the mix. You are unique, and you're valuable, and you're wanted. Yes, Jesus has other talented people, but he wants you. So that was the two, but the third one's the one we're going to go on, and that's a well-known one. It's a traditional one. I've preached on it before, but God showed me some new stuff. And so we're going to look at the third one in this encounter, the parable of the prodigal son. Very well-known parable, preached on all over the world so many times, and so... You know, but God's going to use it in a fresh way, I believe that today. We're going to read that some and look at it in Luke 15:11. As we read the Bible, the Word of God, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. He's talking to the Pharisees. A man had two sons. Say, two sons. The younger son told the father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now I want to look at a couple things here. Number one, the son was asking for something that he would one day be entitled to receive. That was a share that he would one day get. But the problem was, he wanted to hurry the process along a little bit. He wanted it on his time, not God's time. Not the time it was really due. Isn't that sound like us sometimes? You know, I've said this many times. We're the microwave generation. We're the fast food generation. We're the Apple generation. We're the iPod generation. We're the now generation. I want my movies on demand now. I want my food on demand now. I want everything right now. Me, 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 right now, right now, right now. And we become a generation of temper tantrum children. If we don't get right now, we roll on the floor. And you know, we used to punish our children for such temper tantrums. And now we have become the temper tantrum generation. The now generation. This man wanted his now. I want my now. How many sometimes, if you're honest, you don't have to raise your hand, just think. Know that sometimes you'd be like, I want mine now. Give me mine now. You know, doesn't seem that unreasonable. I'm going to get it anyway someday. Why wait? Why should I have to wait? Shouldn't I get it now? Shouldn't I be entitled to it now? But there's another problem with this story, and this is really the crux of the parable, is that this man wanted the blessing of the Father without the presence or authority of the Father. He wanted his father's money, but he didn't want his father's rule. He wanted the blessings from the pastor, but he didn't want the authority or leadership when it went against his will. He wanted his part, but he didn't want nobody to tell him nothing about nothing. He wanted his anointing without the presence. He didn't want to be with the Father anymore. He didn't want to hang with the Father. It's kind of like that cast. There's a Harry Chapin. Somebody help me out. Cat Stevens or Harry Chapin? Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. Harry Chapin, thank you. Now you're going to hell. Is that Sal? Didn't you know Bob Seger too, Sal? Okay. We're going to pray extra hard for you, Sal. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You know when you know the Harry Chapin song? Maybe some of you don't. But, you know, it... When you're young, your son, and I know what that's like right now, your child just looks up to you. You're the greatest thing in the world. And they'll go anywhere with you. Little Hannah used to, no joke, she was my trash dump Saturday morning kid. Yeah. She would get my old waggy and take the trash on Saturday morning. She'd just go with me. Didn't matter where I was going. I just want to be with you, Dad. I just want to be with you, Dad. And then life goes on. I get a little older. And all of a sudden, and nothing, Hannah's a great kid, but you know. Dad, can I get the car keys, you know? Dad, I'm going to go out with some friends. I love you, Dad. Got 20 bucks? Well, no, that was when I was a kid. Dad, you got 50 bucks? I love you, Dad. Got the car keys. I love you, Dad. I'm going to be gone. I love you, Dad. I got to camp for a week. I love you, Dad. I'm going to the beach for a week. I love you, Dad. And I, you know, I understand that. When you get older, you got stuff. But when they get older, then you think back to all those trips on those old softball fields when you're together 24/7. And, you know, you think back to that stuff. At the time, you don't really value it. If you're a young parent, you value that. Because I promise you, I don't care how big and bad you are. I don't care how much you can deadlift. I don't care how tough you look when you puff that chest out and put on that medium shirt. Bad man, I wear a medium. Woo! If I have to rock a medium to look bad, man, I'll just look like a wimp, man. I'm going to rock my double X and go to the house. No matter how bad or tough you look, I'm going to make you a promise. You'll one day cry tears. You'll one day cry missing those times. You'll one day cry missing the things, man, we take for granted right now. So this son had rolled that way, and he was at a point in his life where he just wanted the money, Dad. I'm going to roll and do my things my way. You know, we all get to that point in our life. We think we know more than our old man or our mom or whoever's in our life, authority, our pastor. We know more. And so we just got to roll and do things our way. But here's what God showed me this week that was a powerful thing. We know how this story is going to go. We're going to read it. We know that the father gave his son what he wanted. Listen, God has given us a powerful sword, a powerful thing, the ability to choose. And that thing has a terrible price on this culture sometimes. But it's the only way God gets glory out of us. If I took my, I don't even know how to say this, I guess I'll say it anyway. If I took my wife by the neck and said, "You love me," right? What would I get out of that? It only means something if she has the choice and chooses to love me. That's the way it is with God. He could make us that we had to do whatever he wanted. But free will has a big consequence sometimes on our culture and our society. So God has given us the ability to do what we want. You can follow him. You cannot follow him. You can live under his authority. You cannot live under his authority. But there are repercussions to our choices. And so the father gives him his rope. His father gives him his wishes. All right, son. Have at it. And so the son, the Bible says, a few days later, the younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted, in the Greek, the word is scattered, all of his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. You got to understand, pigs are kind of nasty to us, but in that culture, pigs were very low. It was considered a very insulting job for a Jewish man. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. This is a young man that was born into wealth. If you read the Greek translation, the estate, the word used for estate would have been a word that meant a considerable amount of wealth. This was a man born into wealth. And he took his money that he was going to be entitled to one day, but he took it early before he was entitled to it, outside the authority or the presence of the Father, and he went and did his thing his way. We are the culture, the Burger King culture. I'm entitled to it my way. So he did it his way, and he ended up further than he ever thought he would slip. He ended up in a place he never thought he would get to. Listen, I've been in a lot of prisons. I've been in death rows. I've been all over the place. You know that. And some of you have too. Some of you have been the other side. Some of you have been on the alley. Some of you have been in the real dark places. And I've been there too in my own way as I'm ministering and I counsel to people. And I can tell you this, you never sit with somebody on death row and they say, "Yo, this is just how I planned it." You never sit with somebody in a rehab center as they're shaking and they got track marks up and down their arms and they say, "Yo, man, this is life's good, ain't it? It's what I thought it was going to be." You never sit and counsel somebody as they're just begging and trying to me to help them get their children back as they've lost their children and say, "Hey, man, this is how I play in life." Sometimes life, we get places that we didn't plan on getting. In fact, we always get them. You know, life, I say, is what happens when we're trying to do something else. We all have our own story, and maybe your story isn't as graphic as some of my stories, but you have a story. And I promise you this, I doubt every aspect of your life, no matter how much of a planner or a micromanager or a Clark Griswold kind of dude you think you are, I doubt your life has went exactly the way you planned it. There's been wrinkles, maybe with your children, maybe with your spouse. I could give you a lot of wrinkles. I'm a wrinkly dude. Sin will take you, or life will take you in places you never imagined you would get, right? I've heard your testimony, Grant. And I'm not picking people out necessarily here or trying not to, but football player, football star, U.S. Marine, a hero. But he got to a point where he wasn't feeling much like a hero, feeling like a zero, a broken man. Been there. I talked to a lady this week, and she looked really nice. I mean, really good. She had a nice dress on, and I'll just say it. I can't say names, but I'll say it. She's not from here, and she's from the Roanoke area. And she was had a case, a court case, and I was really blown away because she sat in front of a judge and basically had church, and the judge wasn't about it, but she didn't care. And by the way, she won her case anyway. She broke every legal rule. Yeah. I don't tell people to do that. Maybe I should start. But she didn't care. She just told that judge who her Jesus was. And she looked good. She looked clean, what I mean by that. She looked clean, and she was in her 50s, but she looked clean and healthy and happy, and she was just a joy. She was one of those people that my day was better for coming around her. Like my young lady at Subway back there that makes my life good. I don't go for the subs, friends. I go for to have church with Misha. Subs, all right, you know, as far as a cardboard bread and egg white patty will go. But the church is good. The church is good. That's why I go, right? That's why you go every day. So this lady looked good. But here's the weird thing. I knew her story before I knew her, because many times in my business, I get all their medical records and I get all their history. And so I know every little detail of their life before I meet them. And so most of the time, it kind of all adds up. Right? It adds up. But this lady's story didn't add up. She looked good. But I look at her medical records and I begin to talk to her. And she grew up in a normal family, a good family, so-called, whatever that means, on the outside. And she met this guy and they started dating, and she was, you know, in the 70s, and she tried a little marijuana and a little that Bob Seger music, I believe it was, Sal. And I might have been a little bit something different. But anyway, and before she knew it, she said he took her to a place and she tried something she'd never seen before called crack cocaine. She said, well, I've never seen that before, but this guy's cool. I kind of like him. He got a nice ride. Got that Pontiac Trans Am with that gold thing on the front, you know. Some stonewashed jeans. I'm going to try that crack cocaine. So she said, I'll take a hit off that. Probably no big deal. Be fine. She said, before she knew it, she was consumed. And this lady, the boyfriend thing didn't work out, but the crack kind of did. And this lady ended up, no joke, and she's going to video her testimony for me, by the way. I wish I had it today. But this lady ended up as a prostitute, not because she needed to have crack. And she valued her crack more than she valued anything else. And so she said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll sell whatever I got. And when she ran out of stuff to sell, she said, all I got's me. I'll sell that. I'll do whatever it takes to get that hit of that crack cocaine. She ended up in prison, and she ended up at the lowest place. And she said, she just turned around and said, how did I get here? She said, she prayed the prayer that she remembered her grandma praying in prison. Where's old Regan at? She found it in prison, Regan. She said, my life changed. She said, I made a promise that day. She's now remarried. Husband knows her history. He's cool with it. They both go to church. In fact, they drive 2 hours to go to a church. judge gave her a hard way to go about that. You drive too hard. Yes, sir, it's worth it. Yes, I do. You should come with me sometime. I ain't lying. The bad thing is Mr. Attorney here, who always keeps everything in order, had to pop in and said, Judge, a church that's alive is worth the drive. And he looked at me like, who is this cat? I thought I knew this joker. She said when she met her husband, she told him the first date, she says, listen, oh, and by the way, I don't know about any of this stuff. I really don't know anything about this. I said, where'd you meet your husband? She said, ChristianMingle.com. I said, cool, good luck. But anyway, she said the first date, she said, let me tell you one thing, Joker. She said, no man will ever come between me and Jesus. If you're not okay being second, hit the road, Jack. But she's now 5 years clean and looks like $1 million. But sin will take you, this was her quote, as you know, you've heard the quote, but she quoted it to me, and she quoted to the judge, farther than you ever wanted to go. And life, if you let it, will take you further than you ever planned on going. And this was this boy as he ended up in a very dark place, a hungry place, a boy who was born into wealth, and he became at the lowest point in the mud, hanging with unclean animals and with pigs and with hungry. But here's what God showed me. Regan and I were talking about this on the way in today. I'm really chasing rabbits today. I got a good Regan story, though. Jake this morning said, Dad, are you going to get Regan? I said, yeah, I'm going to get Regan, son. He goes, where is that Regan, Liz? I said, he lives in Kingsport. He goes, man, Kingsport, Tennessee. Like it's Detroit or something, right? He said, Kingsport, Tennessee. He said, how did you meet a guy all the way there? Like it's, you know, like it's Laos or something, you know. How did you meet a guy in Kingsport? How did he start coming here? I said, son, I met him preaching in prison. He said, Dad, is it all right to share this, Regan? You don't care. I know Regan better than that. He said, Dad, how did Regan end up in prison? Because he knows Regan, so it's like Uncle Regan. I mean, Regan goes out to eat with someone. Regan's like his uncle, you know, like, well, Regan in prison? How'd that happen, you know? Like that woman, prostitute? What? She looks like my aunt. You know? He said, how did Regan end up in prison? I said, son, he got messed around drugs. He said, Dad, he sure is all better now. If we all had that, such is the kingdom of God. Not to judge people by their past, not to paint them by their past, to really believe this thing we preach, that people can change, that people can be better. If we could really grasp that. What a powerful, powerful place this would be. So Regan and I were talking about this morning. Here's the problem, or here's the real crux of what God showed me this week. The prodigal son did not fall, listen to me, I'm getting there, in a faraway land in a pig pen. That's the result of his fall. He didn't mess up in a pig pen. He was already messed up when he got to the pig pen. The pig pen was the consequence of what happened to him. When he fell, hear me, when he fell, he was in his father's house. You got to get this. Where are you today? When he fell, he was in his daddy's house. That's where he fell. That's where he messed up. He didn't mess up because he was off in some bar running around chasing something. Yeah, a drink. Or fighting like this old knucklehead used to do. He messed up sitting in his daddy's house. Whoa. Now this messes with you. I thought that was the safe place. This is where he messed up. You know why he messed up? Because he wanted things his way. He would not subject himself to the authority that comes with anointing. There's a price to the blessing. You can't split the two and say, I just want the blessing, but not the authority. I just like the guys preaching, but I'll not listen to anything he says otherwise. I like it when he preaches to those people, as long as he don't preach to me. I like a John Wayne preacher as long as he pats me on the behind when I go crying. Let me tell you something. I'll be honest. I do not preach as harsh as Jesus Christ did. You can read the Bible. And here's the other honest thing. I'll probably have to answer him one day for that. Because I hold back. I'll be honest. And you all think I'm hard. I hold back sometimes because I'm too concerned about what people think of me. That's a sin. I will answer for that. You hear me? Every punch I pull because I'm too worried about making people happy, I will answer for that. So these people that love this microphone, that want it, have it. And understand, I answer for every word I say when I stand before God. Or every word I don't say. That's scary, friend. So I love him too much, and I love you too much to at least try to be honest with you. He fell sitting in his father's house because he wouldn't submit to his father's rules. And then it was a spiral consequence. It's kind of like your foot. You get that little pebble on your foot or a little thing on your foot. That's why you got to go get those orthotics, right? And before long, your leg, your hips messed up. Then your back's messed up. Before long, you're like me, you know. Everybody else says I have a limp. I just think I got swag. I'm just rolling, you know. I don't know what y'all talking about. I was limp. I ain't got no limp. Grant been trying to get me a stick, you know. That was edited for you. Grant, you need to sit somewhere else next time. You're kind of right in the line of fire. If you guys like attention, sit right there because you're going to get it. If you can handle it. Now hear this, when he finally came to his senses, here he is laying in this pig pen. He said to himself, man, I had it made, right? Have we ever done that? The grass is green on the other side, and we get to the other side, we're like, man, I had it made. At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I'm going to go home. Maybe there's some people in here who need to go home. I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned. He didn't say, Father, somebody messed me up. Father, somebody did me wrong. Father, somebody stole my mother. Father, it was always some woman's fault. Father, he said, Father, I have sinned. I like that because that meant he was at least a big boy. Against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. He was so tore up, he wrote a speech. He rehearsed. Have you ever done that? I mean, I remember when you ask a girl out, you'd do that. But when you have to do a hard thing in life, when you have to go make a hard talk with somebody, and you kind of go over and over in your head, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Have you been there? You make a speech. And so he made a speech. This is what I'm going to tell Dad. Dad, I know I've messed up. It's my fault. Just take me on as a servant, man, because it's better at home as a servant. It's better at home as a servant than being out here laying in a pig pen. Just being in your presence, Dad. The thing I took for granted all those years. The thing I ran from. The thing I wanted nothing to do with. Just being sitting around a campfire listening to you talk is worth something to me. Just listen to you, Dad. My grandma, who's passed away. I'd like to get a copy of them. She used to do something sneaky, kind of weird. But I would love to have a copy. She wasn't like a voyeur, but she would take, you know what I'm talking about, Pam. She'd take the cassette tape thing again, that mystery in a box. You could actually record other people talking on it too. And so she would take this thing and she would hide it at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and she would just put record. And nobody was, she wasn't like nosy. But I did remember later on when everybody died except her. She would sit at home and play that thing and just listen to the voices. Just to remember the sound of what Dad sounded like, what Mom sounded like. He missed the presence of his father. It meant something all of a sudden. It didn't mean nothing before. He wanted out of that joint, man. I'm blowing this chicken coop. This town's too little for me. But all of a sudden, it meant something again. To hear the sound of his dad's voice. When it's gone, it means something. I said, Dad, I'm going to tell him that. So he returned home to his father. I'm crazy enough to believe that some people might be just desperate enough in life to want to come home to the Father. And while he was still a long way off, I want you to see this in your mind's eye. I'm trying to go quick as I can. I want you to see this in your mind's eye. I just envision, if you've been on a farm, man, I've been out west and driven across some of the plains of Illinois and these places like that where it's just like an ocean. How many have seen that? Like an ocean of, I guess it's corn, wheat, just ocean. As far as you can see, have you seen it? I just imagine a farm like that. This is an estate, it's a farm. I just imagine looking out as the sun, I'm sure as he got closer to home, maybe he was starting to, you know how your heart starts to beat. Will he take me back? Will he spit in my face? Will he love me? Will he forgive me? Will it be okay? You get closer and closer. Have you ever done that sort of thing? As he walked every step, he had to make a conscious effort to walk. But the Word of God says this. The son never made it to the front door. He never got to knock on the door. Maybe in his head he thought, I'll have to knock on the door. Will they answer? The son never got to knock on the door. Because the Word of God says this. While he was a long way off, way out there, Daddy. Some of y'all say, I don't understand why you all call God Daddy. That's disrespectful. That's irreverent. God says, I'm Abba Father. It's his word. I didn't make it up. If he wants to call, if he wants me to call him Daddy, I'll call him Daddy. He's the boss. Daddy. This word of God says, when he was still a long way off, the Father saw him coming. That tells me something. If you're a long way off, and I can see Rockin' Robbie back there, but if he was way back there, I would have to be intentionally looking to see somebody a long way off. You don't just randomly see somebody 3 football fields away. To see somebody a long way off, you're seeking, you're looking. That father, day after day, had been looking for that son. Wednesday, my boy coming home, looking way out in the distance, while that boy was laying in a pig pen, wondering if he would ever be loved again. Daddy was pacing the floor, looking for my son. See, some of you, he's been looking for you. Some of you, not sure. I don't know, man. I don't know if this stuff's for me. I don't know if I can roll like you people. You people are nuts. Sort of. comes, Lord, we're happy. Wondering if you could be accepted. He's looking for you. I don't know how many Sundays I can tell you. I'm not going to, my story, I do it a lot, it seems like. But you guys know my story. I was out of touch with my family, doing my own thing, rolling my own way, living it up. I'm not saying I was shooting heroin, although I just as well been, I guess. But I was very prideful and full of myself, and I was very separate. I wonder how many Sundays, I wonder how many Father's Days did that old man, sorry. I wonder how many Father's Days did he look back there wondering if his son might show up for once. I wonder how many times they wondered if their son, well, they had dreams, they had visions, they had, God had given them visions of a ministry one day, a family ministry. I wonder how many times they waited for your sorry tale to show up. Right? Looking, wanting. You see, as much as that son wanted fellowship with the dad wants fellowship with you. With you. He wants you so bad. He's looking for you. Day after day. While we squabble and we worry about this and that, this stress and that stress, and paying this bill and paying that bill, and all the things we think are so important. He just wants to spend a little time with his kids. He's waiting. So the Word of God says this. It's the only time I'm aware. Maybe you guys can correct me. He could. This God that we play on TV, that he's a British actor who walks very slow, very stiff. Right? Nah, Dad, you know what Dad did? This is according to Scripture. I don't make this stuff up. Y'all better clear it out of there. He saw his son. It says he ran. With everything he had, he ran. Patriarch, it meant something to be stern and in the Jewish culture. He lost it, man. He flipped. He lost it. He said, forget that. Forget cool. Forget prideful. Forget ties and coats. I'm going to run and get my boy. This is God that Jesus is speaking of. Representative of God, and he says he ran to get his son. And when he got there, he didn't do a bro hug. Sit down. That's pretty weak. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's how prideful people act. He also didn't do the businessman thing. Get up, Dale. Get up, Dale! It says he lost it, and he ran to his boy, and he grabbed him around. You mean God hugged him and he kissed him? Yes! Daddy kissed us! Daddy loves us! Yes, yes, yes! And legacy that Jesus himself is describing. This isn't some goofy preacher from Virginia making this stuff up. This is what Jesus said. You think Jesus knows his dad? This is Jesus describing his dad. I think they know each other a little bit. That's why I'm not like mechanical in my worship, and I'm not criticizing anybody else, I promise you. Everybody's got different experiences and life experiences. But when you understand the love that Daddy has, that he just run to you and pick you up and give you a big old bear hug and kiss you, when you understand that, it changes the way you interact. It changes. That's when your child, and they get different ages and they don't like it as much sometimes. But that's why you can go up to your kid and give a knuckle sandwich and kiss on them and love on them. Not you. Oh, they get away from you. They ran. He ran when he was still a long way off. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him. His son said to him, now listen to this, we're getting there. I'm going to finish up. Give me just a minute. I'm going to be as quick as I can, I promise you. Brandon, I'm praying for you twice. Said, he started to give his speech. Remember the speech he wrote? He started to give his speech. Right? He practiced this in his head. I mean, he probably already got messed up a little bit because Dad came running. That made it a little bit easier. It broke the ice, right? And so he started to give his speech. Father, I have, same speech, same word for word. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Now the next part was supposed to be, please take me on as a hired servant. But no, 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 no. Dad interrupted him, the word of God said. Cut him off. Yip, yip, yip. He cut him off. Don't talk none of that servant stuff to me, boy. Daddy's here. You don't have to be a servant in this house. He said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and put some sandals on his feet. Put the robe with the robe of legacy. That boy's going to carry my name. You carry, man, woman, boy, or child, you carry your daddy's name. He's got a robe waiting to put on your back. A legacy. The Bible says, Prophet Jeremiah, before he was formed in his mother's womb, he was appointed a prophet to the nations. You have purpose and destiny for you. He put the robe back on him. Nothing you do. I don't care where life takes you. I don't care what pig pen you lie in. I don't care how you think you've fallen or what society says or what some religious person says or what somebody condemns you for. You run back to Dad. That robe's waiting. Who do you say that I am? Lord, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets of old. But who do you say I am? You are the Messiah, Son of Christ, Son of God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is destiny. But you know what? I don't know him. Who? Jesus who? Oh, I don't know him. Oh, Lost Creek. No, I don't know Lost Creek. What's that shirt? Oh, Fleet. I got a yard sale. I got a yard sale. I don't know that crazy crew. No, I don't know Jesus. Jesus who? He denied him 3 times. But you know what? He didn't forfeit his legacy. Because on that day of Pentecost that we celebrate today, when the fire fell, one man came from the group and delivered the most powerful preached message, the most important maybe preached message, as the church was born. And it was that old denier, Peter. You know what he did? Daddy put the robe back on the seashore one day when he said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Sure, God, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep." As he put the robe back on him, he put the legacy back on him. Some of you have laid your legacy down and you think your actions and your lifestyle have forfeited your destiny. But I have news for you. Your robe is waiting at your daddy's house. And today I pray that you put the robe back on, because it ain't too late. It's not too late. You got a world to change. You got a family to raise. You got a community to change. You got people's mind to change. And it's time you put your big boy britches on and your big woman britches on and start changing the world. So he put the robe of legacy. He put the ring of authority. That's like daddy's debit card, Demi. When you have the ring, when you go places, back in those days, they didn't have plastic yet. I know that's hard to imagine. They'd flash the ring. Somebody come wanting to beat you up, man. You got some money? You know who my daddy is? You know who my daddy is? He's that throat-punching crazy preacher down. You better get out of my way, Jack. My daddy owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he put the sandals distinguishing him from any servant. Servants went barefoot. Couldn't run real far when you're barefoot. And he said, "We got a world to change, son." They said, "Kill the fatted calf." That's the good stuff, man. "We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead. Now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." And this is what I like the NLT. I love this translation. "So the party began." Boom, boom, the party began. I'm tired of people criticizing. "Well, they act like they're having a party." My father said, "So the party began." And he had a party in his house when one son came home. And week after week, I see dead people get up. And I see men and women and daughters and sons come here. And I'm just going to keep on partying, Jack. If you don't like it, get out the door. I'm not burying anybody today. I came here to party. Somebody said, "I used to party in the world." I did too. I thought I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know how to party till I discovered the Holy Ghost party. If you knew what it was like to have one of your babies that you thought was dead come running back home, you'd party too. So we're done, but I want to finish with you. I normally finish right here unless I do a whole separate message, but I just want to cover in 2 minutes, because some of us are here. Listen, some of us are here. There's two sons in this story. There's two sons in this story. So they're partying. They're celebrating. They're having a good time, LC style, right? Meanwhile, listen to this. The older son was in the field working. That's the good guy. He wasn't off running around with the pigs. He's working, honest living, providing for my, that's what I used to say. I'm a provider, you know? I may not take my kids to church all the time, but they have nice stuff, and I coach them, and I'm around them all the time, and I teach them civic responsibility. I don't really talk like that. Huh? Keanu Reeves? Yeah, totally. I could do the Michigan accent.
Yeah, get your pajamas on.
I'll just do old Hillbilly Heath accent. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what is going on? The servant said, listen to this, your brother is back. He was told, and the father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his return. Now hear me out, there are some other brothers here. The second brother goes, the older brother, was angry. Imagine, his brother has come home and he's mad. He's mad. He wouldn't go in the house. He stayed outside the house. Can you imagine? His brother he thought was dead has come home. They're having a party. They're having the best food. And he stubs up outside. I'll not go in that. How dare they? His father came out and begged him. Can you imagine this? Can you see this in your head? The father coming out. Son, come on in, man. We're having a party. We're together again. We're together as a family again. Son. But he replied, all these years, as we finish up, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And all that time, you never gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he came back to life. He was lost, but now he was there. I want you to look at something about this as we come to a close. This second brother was actually jealous because they started giving attention to this. He said, you know what? Dude, I've been coming to church for 2 years, man. I have drove buses. I have cleaned toilets. And this joker rolls in on a Sunday and you give him a microphone. Come on, man. Dad. Maybe I'm just crazy. What are you doing? You know what the problem was? This son also had a problem with the father's authority. And this son also had a fall in the father's house. Both kids fell in the father's house because they refused to submit to the father's rules and his authority. Dad, I can't believe that. He's a bad guy. He's done bad stuff, and you're glorifying him? Here's what he did. He stopped identifying, as we come to a close, with, that's my second one. He stopped identifying with his brother as a brother. He never called him his brother. The servant said, that's your brother. The dad said, that's your brother. His own God, his father said, that's your brother. That's your sister. You're supposed to be happy. But you know what the jealous boy said? That no count son of yours. He refused to empathize with that man as his brother or sister. Tiff and I were talking about that. It's a lot easier when we deal with people we don't like if we don't identify with them. They're different. They're different. That's not my brother. That's not my... Somebody actually said, I don't know who, I really don't know who it was. I hear so much, and I promise you, this is not, if it's one of you all, if it's true, you just have to deal with it. I don't know who you are, though. But somebody actually said, you guys preach too much to lost people. Yeah, Bubba, that's the point. That's the point. You got a brother and a sister that needs to come home, and that's what I care about, Grant. Yes, I value your service, and you'll get your reward one day, but we need to party because a lost one has come home. squabbled with Jesus that way. I want to, who gets the most credit? You know what he said? The least down here is going to be the best up there. People think we're floating around in equality in heaven. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The least here will be the greatest there. So which brother are we? Sometimes maybe both. Sometimes maybe both. Maybe sometimes we're the jealous brother that when the new people come, we get jealous. Why do they get all the strokes? Listen, I have no desire to make a codependent relationship with you. If you need me to pat you on the head to get to heaven, what happens when I get hit by a bus tomorrow? I have no desire to do that. I love you too much. I want to see you empowered. I want to see you under authority and under rule, but I want to see you able to be strong on yourself with God as your lead. So which brother are we? Are we out in the field wanting to come back and be with Dad again? Or we've been here all along, and sometimes the human nature, and I'm not criticizing if you're either brother, because I've been both brothers. I have been both brothers. Maybe sometimes still both brothers. So I don't criticize you. God, Jesus tells this story for a purpose. It's because it applies to us. So I don't say that to condemn you. I just say it's time to come home. Man, it's time to come to Daddy's presence. Whichever son you are, come on in the house, man. Come on in the house and let's party. Let's party. So I thank you for your attention. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. Thank you for staying with me. I don't even, didn't plan on going all that way. If you're in here and you know what it's like to miss the Dad's presence, man, woman, boy, or girl, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I miss Dad's presence. I miss, I want more out of my life. You say, what does all that mean, preacher? I want more out of my life. I want more. I want more. I know there's more out there. Something inside me tells me there's more out there. If you're feeling that, there probably is. There probably is. Anybody else says, I want more of Dad's presence? Could you raise your hand? I see your hands. Is there anybody in here? Nobody look around, please. Nobody is. Thank you. I see all your hands. Is there anybody in here that this takes more courage? It's easy to be the first son in a way. It's harder to have the courage to say I'm the second son. To say, you know what? I've been the second son sometimes. That I don't. Sometimes I see your hands. If that's you, just raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I don't understand sometimes, and I get tired sometimes, and I know what that's like. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to ask one more time, and then we're moving. I'd like every hand that raised, and anybody else that wants to join, to raise your hand. Just raise your hand right now. All those that were raising. If your hand gets tired, just switch hands. We're not going to be long. We're not going to be long. I'm going to do something crazy. You know, what this story tells me, if you take one step, he'll run to meet you. He'll run to meet you. I'm going to count to three. Keep your hand up. And I'm going to ask just you to come step out in that aisle. And I promise you, it'll take over from there. I see people already coming. When I count to you, come on, you don't have to wait. Some people, what, you just keep your head, but just come on. Keep on. Just keep coming. Keep your head down, but just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. I see your hands. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. I'm going to get you some altar workers in just a minute. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. I want to stay in this moment for just a minute. I'm going to have some people come pray with you in just a moment. But I want people just to keep coming. You say, I don't know what all this means. Maybe, preacher, this is a little bit far out for me, but I just want more in my life. I want more for my family. I want to learn, and I want to grow, and I want to go on this journey wherever it leads. That's how I started this journey. I didn't know where it was going to lead, but I said, I'm going to take a step for my family. And, you know, this is where, here we are. Anybody else, just keep coming. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to ask people to stand, and the rest of you that have your hands raised, I want you to come on forward. Are you ready? Anybody else that wants to come pray? We're not going to wrestle or do the worm or dance. We might dance at the end. We're just going to pray with you. That's it. We're just going to spend a little time praying as this service concludes. Are you ready? When I count to three, I want everybody to stand, and this band's going to play softly for a minute, and we're going to pray. Ready? One, two. And I want everybody that feels the desire in their heart just to come on forward at three. Three. Come on. Just come on. All those hands. Anybody else that wants to come? Just come on around this altar and let's pray. And I do need some altar workers. I need a male altar worker. I need a couple female altar workers. I need some altar. People are just getting right, man. People are just talking and spending some time with their daddy. Yeah, I need some altar workers. Come on. Keep coming. You say, I don't understand. Just all you do is you just come, and we're just going to pray that God give you the strength to go on a journey. That's it. Bring you into the party. Bring you into the